that's right. It's time for the continuation of the Isle of Ann show. And we have our state treasurer here with us. You know, he was elected for a term, and he decided to serve again, and he got reelected. How you doing today, Curtis Loftus?
I am doing very well, Ann. How about yourself?
Very good, very good.
I bet you're very busy this time of year.
We are. It's good. The holidays, you know. And I was just wondering, Curtis, don't you have somebody that needs a little sparkly, because I believe in the power of the sparkly?
No, when it comes to Curtis, I need to. If I want to buy something, I need a bulletproof vest.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, I thought I'd ask. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you, if I do need something, I am coming to you.
Well, thank you very much, Curtis. Thank you. You know, you have you went through re-election. You're now in going to be there. What are you looking at as we go forward here for the next term?
Well, there's going to be a lot going on, you know, in the General Assembly, and this is the state that's really controlled by the General Assembly. There's a lot of talk about ethics and ethics reform, and there's a lot of talk about gasoline tax and tax, perhaps tax reform that way. The first one, the ethics reform, I think is generally a lot of show and not a lot of action. So we'll see what happens. The second one, the gas tax, that may be quite a battle. A lot of people will be for it. A lot of people will be against it. And it's huge money, Ann. I mean, it's billions and billions of dollars over the course of the decade. And so there are a lot of people who have an interest, and there are a lot of well-to-do and connected people who have significant interest. And they're working behind the scenes already. So it's going to be an interesting brawl.
Yeah, I think it definitely will. But the gasoline tax, you know, the more the price of gas goes down, we've got to do something about our roads, and it just doesn't seem to be that we're getting ahead of the curve on this.
Yeah, that's right. You know, as I go around, what I see is that the largest or most significant obstacle to increasing the gasoline tax is that people don't trust state government, and they especially don't trust the Department of Transportation. So I think whatever my personal feelings are, we have to address those for the people. They got to know that if we're going to commit billions of dollars to the gas tax and then consequently to roads, is the money going to actually get there? Is it going to get there in a meaningful way?
Sure.
Are they going to go off and build, you know, special roads for special interest? Or are they going to build roads that help people in the Savannah River Valley? You know, you guys hardly ever get new roads.
Correct.
And yet, you'll be paying in that gas tax. So, personally, I'm against the gas tax. I think until we have a transparent and accountable way to account for the money and the roads we're going to build, we shouldn't give them the money. So I'm just dead set against it. But people are going to have to weigh in. And I think y'all have good representatives from down there in Greenwood County, and they will speak their mind, and hopefully we'll come to a process by which first we can demand accountability and transparency, and then at some point in the future we can address the funding.
Well, you know, Curtis, that's been one of your biggest fights, transparency.
Oh, it's awful. It is so easy to pull the wool over the voters, and it's a terrible thing to say. I see it every day. It is just so easy. South Carolina State's about to get $12 million loan over 2 or 3 years, except it's not really a loan, but maybe it is a loan. But there aren't any loan agreements. There aren't any loan terms. Maybe it's appropriation. Oh, gosh, I don't know. The powerful General Assembly delegated that appropriation to an unnamed committee.
An unnamed committee? Come on now, Curtis. How can you do it?
Huh? Yeah. I don't even know who the working group is. I asked in an official budget control board meeting, Richard Exum, the Comptroller General, I asked. We don't know who it is. So, I hate to be so negative because I want to be positive today, but the public, there's 100 different ways for a strong central government to take advantage of the public, and especially the public's purse. But the public even gets out of bed in the morning, you know?
Right.
and so the South Carolina State thing, I mean, I still don't know who's going to sign the warrant, who's going to sign and say, okay, send them the money, because I'm the banker. I have to send that money. I don't even know where it's going to come from. Generally, I know where it comes from. this is just one of those, the South Carolina State thing, just one of those areas where nobody's in charge, but they really are behind the scenes. You can't point your finger to any one person because so many different people, so many different committees are all involved that nobody's responsible.
Well,
and that's what we have in our roads as well. So that's what we got to try to work on. And we can do it. Let's be positive. Y'all got good representatives from down there. You've got some good senators from down there. We need to get them to fight and say, we won't give you a nickel at the Department of Transportation and the Infrastructure Bank until we know where it's going. And we want to see a yearly accounting. That's what we want.
You know, that seems to be the thing, Curtis, is that we put aside money to fix the roads, and yet, you know, then when it's a year later and the roads still haven't been worked on and you hear, well, we're in the planning stages on how to do this. I mean, how hard is it? We already had a list of crumbling bridges and all this kind of stuff.
Well, they want to do the list they want to do. I mean, there's so much behind-the-scenes maneuvering. You can't imagine. I wish I could truly explain it to you. But we need to be sitting down. I need to have paper in front of me and draw the maps. It's just so easy to do. I participated in a conference call yesterday between some very concerned citizens, honorable people, honest people, who had questions about some balance sheet issues that had to do with roads. And they were complex, hard-to-answer questions. This is me with my experts.
Right.
Can you imagine the average guy riding around Greenwood, who's got, you know, got to worry about getting his kids to school, he's got to worry about working to pay taxes, right? The citizens have things to do. They can't spend all day studying these issues. So the complexity of the issue takes it out of a realm. And they'll say, well, we have a financial statement. It's at the end of every year. You can look at it. Well, you can't read it, you know, unless you've got your PhD in economics and you've been studying it for a month. So what good does that do to the average person? We got to have transparency that matters. We got to know that when you pay more money at that gas pump, that you're going to get something for it, not just more of the same. And that's what I'm going to hold out for. Some people object. They say, Curtis, we got to have work done on the road. I said, well, we've been saying that for years and years and years. We spend money for years and years and years. And what do we have? So let's don't do more of the same.
Correct. And I think that's isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yeah. And the two of us know a little about that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of good things going on. You know, I go around the state. I was in Greenville at an Elliott Davis continuing education program for local CFOs, chief financial officers, accountants, smart people creating jobs, looking for innovation. They're doing what we think of as the American dream. And we've got to make sure the government just gets in line with that. We need to get out of their way. We need to quit being the biggest player around all the time and throw our muscle around so we get what we want. We need to give the people what they want. And they want fairness. They want some equity.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep fighting for it. As long as I can stay in office, I'm going to keep fighting for it.
Well, you know, that brings me to another question. What do you think about the fact that this is not within your parlance, it's just conversation, but the fact that the Republicans now will have control of the Senate after the first of the year, and them going ahead and signing this budget till September of next year. I am furious about this. What do you think?
I'm with you. I've almost given up paying any attention to Washington, D.C., because I get access to a lot of information the average person doesn't have. And to be honest with you, it's sickening. That $1.1 trillion bill, which, by the way, will end up being larger,
right,
was nothing but a feeding frenzy. I mean, it was as if you took $1,000 in $20 bills and threw it out to a group of homeless people. We would all laugh at them for running and jumping for the money, but let me tell you, people in $5,000 suits who went to Washington in private jets and stayed in $2,000 hotel rooms, they were scrambling on the ground just like those homeless folks would do. They got that money, they changed commas, they added ands, they added whereas, all these little things in the bill, and they're going to get rich, and we get the bill. Every time they do one of these bills, it is a betrayal of democracy. It makes me so mad I can't stand it.
I agree.
I have no confidence in John Boehner and that crowd, that's for sure.
Well, this is what I don't understand. In fact, I'm going to have Jeff Duncan on tomorrow. I want to know what was behind the scenes happening that would cause this. Why didn't they just do a CR? I mean, how many times have we done that, right? And done it through February or March, and then gotten in there and started tearing everything apart.
Well, people like Jeff Duncan are good and honorable people. They get there, and their bosses are saying, we've done this deal, and if we don't do it this way, the world's going to go to an end.
Right.
And these guys have to make the decision. And I know how hard it is. I mean, fortunate decisions I make, most people don't understand. You know, how long to run an amortization schedule. Well, average person doesn't care, so I don't get criticized. But we see what Jeff and Lindsay and Tim, we see what those guys do, so it's easy for us to criticize them. I just know in my heart that you can't run the world's largest organization without a budget. We don't debate budgets. We used to have budgets. We used to have budgets where people came and negotiated and talked about important things. You know, how do we construct our ability to pay for certain services, you know, department by department. It's been years since we've had one of those. It's a betrayal of democracy. It ought to stop, and it would be okay with me if they shut the whole damn place down and waited till people came to their senses.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly just don't understand what happened there. It's like they just handed over the keys and said, hey, we're going to just keep on going the way we're going.
Well, people like John Boehner didn't get where they are because they were a great intellectual or of moral fiber. You know, they were partisans. They got there because they're deal makers, and they're going to make a deal. And, you know, sometimes you're just better off without a deal. You have to walk away from the table sometimes, and we never walk. People are excited about the Republicans running Congress now. I'm not excited at all. I don't think it's going to be any difference. Oh, there'll be some talk, you know, be a little talk difference. But at the end of the day, we're still trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Trillions. And the debt we're issuing on a daily basis is what's keeping the economies of the world afloat. We're paying the bill, and we're going to have to pay the bill, you and I.
Yeah.
These other countries aren't.
I know, and that's what just frustrates me. I just do not understand what happened up there. Maybe I'll get some clarity behind the scenes stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, but Jeff's a good man, and I trust him. I have a lot of confidence in our delegation, but we're going to disagree on certain things, you know, of course. But I know what's happened. They're there, and they're the Speaker of the House is looking you dead in the eye. I mean, the Speaker of the House, that's one of the most important people in the world, and he said, we got to do it this way.
Right.
Well, you know, it's easier to say you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But you know, you live in Greenwood, South Carolina. It's a beautiful place. There are nice people there. And while the federal and state governments are important to us, they're not the most important thing. Most important thing is that we have our families, that we have our friends, that we live a good life. We do the things we're supposed to. You know, people down in your neck of the woods can live on 30 acres or 40 acres or maybe just a small plot of land. You can have a garden. You can do the things that are endearing, the things that since the beginning of time have made people happy. This government, and I've been in it 4 years now, government is a morass. It is not fit for good people. And to be honest with you, the further most people stay away from it, the better, because it just drags you into it.
Yeah.
And there's just no integrity left in it. If you need a number, make it up.
Yeah, there you go. Just make it up.
I deal with it every day, and there's one of the most important numbers in all of South Carolina. It's a number 99% of people never heard of. And it's just come to me, so I can't talk about too much. But they decided not to have a number.
Right.
They decided to have a range of numbers.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like saying, okay, this may be I haven't thought about an analogy, but gas tax is going to go up, say, 10 cents.
Right.
Well, they would say, gas tax will go up between 5 and 20 cents.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, and this is one of the most important numbers in government. And they just, it didn't work. It increases our debt. It makes our balance sheet look worse. So what did they do? They created a range. First time ever. No conversation about it. Just did it. And I'm not going to accept it. I haven't exactly decided what I'm going to do about it yet.
Right.
But I'm going to. You know, what I need to do is put a sandwich sign on and go sleep on the State House steps and tell people. But, you know, most people just aren't interested.
And that is part of the problem. And I think because government has gotten so away from something that regular people can understand, That's right. Just throw up their hands and say, I don't know, I can't do anything about
Embrace your city government, your village government, your county government. Go to your school board. Make friends with them. Don't be adversary with them. Help them. I mean, of course, there will be always be disagreements. Don't get me wrong. But that's where you have power. This federal government stuff, if I went to the top of the State House and said, I'm going to jump off if you don't do X, they'd say, all right.
Go ahead and jump.
They don't care, you know. It's the government closest to us is the best. Go get involved with your local city and county and your school districts. Have some fun. Make a positive difference. It's messing in Washington, I swear. It would be best if we could just send, if we could annex Washington into Mexico. That's what we need to do.
Well, one of the other ideas is shut down the Capitol, move and start over somewhere else, like maybe Nashville or something. Rebuild.
I'm all for it. Yeah. I just look at some of these things, like Obama with immigration, and I think you know me well enough. I try not to be, you know, just an Obama trash. I just don't want to be that way.
Right.
I don't agree with him, but it's just more things in life that you should be doing, more productive. Well, this immigration stuff, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's the bill that the people of Greenwood, who have a hard enough time as it is, are going to have to pay for these people who have no tie to this country. They can come, they can stay 10 or 15 years, they can make a little money, they can get their health fixed, they can do all this, they can anchor their babies and their relatives, and then they get to go back to some little village someplace and live like a king.
That's true.
They can always come back for their medical care. I mean, it's just craziness, and it's taking money out of the average person's pocket.
That's right. I couldn't agree with you more, and I guess that's why they've decided to make that the first issue when they come back. But I don't have much hope.
I fully expect a lot of talk. I don't expect a lot of action. And I'm really looking forward to these presidentials come through because we're in early primary state, and when they come, and they like endorsements.
Right.
When they come to me, I've got some questions. Let me tell you, I've got some questions that I'm not going to be quiet about. But I'm going to ask them in public.
Well, I know, I know you, Curtis. You certainly are one that is ready to talk, and I think that's a good thing. I wish more of our politicos were like this too.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Ann. I appreciate you having me on. I know it's getting to be the Bob and hour, so you got to roll.
But
you're a good woman, and I really do appreciate what you do down there, and that's a special part of the state. I really like that part. I told you this, each time I come, I feel like I'm solicitous, and I don't want to be. And I'm serious. I hope you guys really just embrace Greenwood County and the town, the city. Worry about that. If we spend as much time worrying about our local governments as we do that mess in Washington, which we have no effect on whatsoever, if we spent that much time, we would have truly remarkable communities. And that's what we need.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Curtis. Hey, I do want to mention your Future Scholar Program just earned the bronze rating.
Yes, and we would be better. We would have the gold medal, but we can't because we remodeled the plan.
Right.
And so the plan is only 2 years old. It's actually 12 years old, but it starts anew, you know.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons. It's a great plan. Fees are low. Returns are high. It's easy to get in. If you go to www.futurescholar.com, www.futurescholar.com. You too can sign up a loved one for what is undoubtedly the best way to save money for a loved one. It's so convenient, it's so flexible, and it's cheap. The money grows tax-free. Your kid can go to college. That kid can make a life for himself.
That's right, and you know, that's what we need is education for the future. But, you know,
yeah,
if you just try to write the check for it, it's pretty darn hard. So this is a great program to get in on.
That's right. Over $10,400 a year in basic tuition at Carolina. This will pay any accredited 2 or 4 year school in the country. It pays for specialty schools in case you want to be a chef or something like that, as long as it's accredited.
Right.
It's a great thing to do. So if you get a chance, www.featurescholar.com.
Hey, Curtis, Merry Christmas.
You know, too, sister.
I hope that it's going to be a good year next year.
Well, that's right. I'm counting on you to make it happen.
All right. Bye, Curtis. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.